Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home. Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home.
Welcome to the Free Birth Society podcast. This is a radical space for women who are ready to celebrate their autonomous choices in birth, motherhood, and beyond. Together, we'll learn about wild birth through personal narrative, we'll explore the politics of birth, and we'll analyze everything that relates to our lives as women from a feminist perspective. Here's your host, Emily Saldaya.
It's been a while, freedom child.
Texas, what's up? Welcome to the very first ever live recording of the Free Birth Society podcast. It's an honor to be here. My name is Devonna, and I'll be your MC for the evening. How are you all feeling? Yes. It's a gift to be here. I first discovered Free Birth Society when I was at the end of my first pregnancy. And I wish that I had found it earlier. I ended up in the hospital with a cesarean birth. I got put to sleep under general anesthesia. I had Oxycontin and fentanyl as my pain relievers. And what that did was, it was my awakening into my second pregnancy, wild pregnancy, zero tests, zero doctors, no ultrasounds. I didn't take a pregnancy test. And I had a beautiful, blissful birth in the Austin snowpocalypse. Who was here for that? So it was amazing to have prepared to not leave the house because you couldn't leave the house. People were sliding on black ice. So I'm grateful for the work that Emily is doing for the Free Birth Society community, for the shift in consciousness that is happening on this planet to return to our roots. And I also did the Radical Birthkeeper School. Do we have any Radical Birthkeepers in the house? Yay! Yes, so thank you all for the work that you're doing. So needed on this planet. So without further ado, let's get the show on the road. It is an honor to introduce you to the fearless, fabulous, fierce, incredible CEO, mama of two, the amazing, beautiful, hilarious, uncancelable, unshakable, Emily Saldaya in the house! Love you! And thank you, Cap City, for having us here. Be sure, check out the merch. Order your drinks and tip your waiters.
Hi, guys! This is so fun! Hi, I saw some of you today. Okay, so every night leading up to this moment right here, I've been coming up with bits. When I fall asleep at night and I can't sleep and I think about this event, I think about how I'm gonna be at a comedy club and maybe I'll do a bit. I promised my husband on the way here I'm not gonna do a bit. But this will be the first of many, so we're hoping to bring this to lots and lots of cities around the country. Before we get going, I wanna just thank my manager, Stephanie. She is who came up with this idea, brought this all together. I would never have done this on my own. I have always done this podcast in my pajamas at my home, in a very comfortable way. So this is stretching me out of my comfort zone to be in front of all of you and, yeah, get to see what's here to really create all of this together and listen to this woman, IRL. And I'm really excited to meet all of you afterwards. Let's give it up for Steph for a real quick minute.
Thank you.
All right. So the only teaser I'm going to give you about this woman is that towards the end, there is a pretty big surprise. You might even call it a double surprise. So stay till the end, please, and hear her story. Please give it up for Kate coming from Houston to tell her story to all of us tonight. Kate, come on out. I love the tissues queued for you. Let's do it, girl. Just settle
what
in.
Is up? I'm so happy to be here.
Nothing weird awesome. About telling your birth story to a whole room of strangers.
Well, I do appreciate the space, and I know that everyone that's going to be here is, you know, with the movement. So,
are you with the movement? Okay.
If not, you gotta go.
Yeah, you gotta go.
Just kidding. But it's intimate and sacred to tell our birth story, so I'm thankful for the opportunity, honestly.
Yeah, your photo caught my eye, which I know we'll be showing at some point. And your story is, you know, really like all birth stories, magnificent and quite straightforward and simple and packed with a couple of really special surprises. So just start us, girl. Start us at the beginning. We're going to be telling your third pregnancy primarily, but let's go back to third and fourth.
You don't want me to start with the third one, right?
No. Start at the very beginning. Who are you when you first get pregnant with your very first child? And give us just an overview. You know, obviously, we have two birth stories to touch on, right?
Right, yeah. Okay, so I am 33, and I have a lot of kids now. My first, I was actually just dating my husband for 4 weeks, and we found out that we were 4 weeks pregnant.
Oh, my
God. Our story's great. we're still together. He's the father of all my children, don't worry. But yeah, so it was a shock to us. We were partying a lot, and we had a lot of party friends, so I was the only person to get pregnant and have any children. So I basically did not have any like friends that were free birthing or home birthing or anything like that. So I went to the OBGYN, I went to all my appointments, I was a good girl, I took my $10 Walmart prenatal vitamins. it just all sounds so weird now, but yeah, and I had my firstborn son in the hospital. It was a very easy pregnancy, no complications, but at 39 weeks, my OBGYN pulled me in and did the typical ultrasound and said that my baby was small and that I should be induced. And so being the woman that I was back then, I said, okay, get this baby out of me. Like, please, oh, that's Logan. That's my first baby.
And did you go right into the induction or did you go home for the weekend?
No, she let me come back 3 days later. Because, yeah.
It was an emergency.
It was not an emergency. but it in the mind space that I was in back then, like, I didn't know any better.
Of course.
And it's terrifying. You're like, my baby's small. I got to get him out of me. Like, I got to do what's right. And so.
So at that time, you really trusted your doctor. You really trusted what they were suggesting.
Of course. Yeah. It's a doctor. Went through all this school. You know, like, that's just, yeah, of course. And so I did everything I was supposed to do, and I showed up for my induction, and I arrived at 9 a.m. They started the Pitocin very quickly. The nurse, I had to ask for another nurse because she could not get the IV in my arm. My arm was like swelling up, and she's like, it's fine. It's fine. I'm like, no, like, this doesn't feel right. I'm swelling. She's like, I'll just get another nurse in. I will never forget that part of the birth. so, yeah. Pitocin starts kicking in, and I can feel like, has anyone in here like been induced? Yes. Okay. So for those of us that like have not, bless you, you're lucky. Those contractions are not like normal contractions. They are brutal and they don't feel right. And there's like not even a way to get through them. Like breath, it just doesn't work.
Well, they're artificial.
Yeah. It's brutal. And I didn't know that. And so of course, after, I don't know, 8 or 9 hours, I'm begging for an epidural because they kicked up, the contractions kicked up. The we went through this.
Anesthesiologist,
yes.
You got it.
Was busy, and so he couldn't come and administer it for about an hour and a half. I finally get it, and they have, you know, they do the side, they put you in your sides a couple times. And then after one of the flips, his heart rate, because I'm being continuously monitored, emergency, everyone out of the room, whole bunch of nurses rush in, and I can feel like pressure. I'm like, I need to push. And they're like, no, your doctor's like not here, not gonna be here anytime soon. You can't push. I'm like, I'm going to push because the baby's right there. And like I just remember the doctor running in and like basically ripping, like not ripping the baby out of me, but like, you know, grabbing the head and pulling the baby. But it was all very, very quick. Once that like emergency, everyone out and nurses in the room, it was maybe a 15 minute thing. Now I know through all my children that I just give birth quickly. I transition very quickly. But again, like we're not taught about what to look for, anything like that. So, I mean, for all the stories that I've heard, and my oldest son is 9. So all the stories I've heard from women in the last 10 years, I got lucky with my hospital birth, like very, very lucky. I'm very well aware of that. And so it was
I wouldn't call it lucky, but it can get a lot worse.
Yes, yes. I do think that if I didn't transition as quickly as I do, it would have went to C-section easily. They're telling me not to push a baby out that's right there. The heart rate, the doctor is not there. It's just like, well, let's do the easy thing. Send her to the OR. I'm sure we got someone here who'll do it, you know? So I'm thankful that I dodged that bullet. But that was no complications. We got to go home.
And how does it feel for you in those early days as you're learning motherhood and integrating?
That's hard.
You know, a birth that you didn't expect. I also didn't ask you before, but what had been your hopes and dreams of that birth? You know, had you thought about that yet?
No.
Okay.
That wasn't even in my realm of consciousness, honestly. It was so fear-based that it was just, please let me and this baby live. And that was for a completely healthy, very low risk pregnancy, but that was my mindset. Like, please just let us live. Like,
it's the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bar is survival.
Yeah. And then I would say my postpartum after that was sad. I wasn't taught anything about breastfeeding. Everyone around me was like, oh, just give him a bottle. So poor Logan was fed formula like right off the bat. And I suffered from postpartum depression for probably a year or two, 2017, 2 years after that. And it was rough. It was rough. And it also led me to what happened with my next birth and then birth after that. So I'm grateful for the experience itself. And also, I wish that we were taught more.
Yeah.
Taught better.
And so how old is your first when you get pregnant with your second?
4.
Okay, so you have a minute.
No, he's 3 when I get pregnant. They're 4 years apart. Yeah.
And how does this, if you were to summarize the first 2-3 years of how you thought about your birth, like, did you relate your postpartum depression to having a birth on drugs?
Not until after I had my second at home, and it was like literally bliss that I was like, I started to go back and go over everything, and I was like, okay, and I could just piece all of the pieces together because I know myself and I know how I react to certain things, and yeah, it just all made sense, all of it, everything that they do and the standard operating procedures in a hospital. It's just, it does not benefit mothers to
and
me.
How did you start to put those pieces together?
It was after my second was born, and because I had done
the
everything.
Comparison.
Yeah, it was just clear as day. I'm like, oh my gosh. And that's what led me to just become so passionate about birth and pregnancy.
So at what point with your second do you know you're going to have a home birth?
Before I get pregnant?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So it becomes on your radar.
Oh yeah.
So something prior to that birth, something is in your consciousness going, I want something better.
Yes. There was 2, I would say, like little catalysts. My oldest started teething, and I was like, okay, he's crying all the time. What do I do? And I'm on Google, like a first time 23-year-old mom, and it's like, oh, Tylenol, oh, this. And I'm like, okay. And I just do a quick search of, like, you know, side effects of Tylenol for babies, and it's not like what you want to see as a mom. And I'm like, okay. There's got to be something else that's not going to cause like random things in 2 years with my child. And that just led me down all of the rabbit holes. I was just like, okay, I can get pretty extreme sometimes. So I was in a mind space of like, whatever they tell me to do, I'm going to do the opposite. So that was one catalyst. And the other one was my son's 18-month well visit. He got his shots, and just I had like this like spiritual, just full body like chills. I felt very sick. My son was like piercing, screaming, and I kept asking the doctor if something was wrong with him, because like I've never heard my child, he's almost two, and I've never heard him scream like this before. And they're like, no, he's fine, it's normal, just take him home, let him sleep it off. And I'm like, I just like, you know, like mothers, you know, I'm like, I can feel something's wrong. And they're like, no. And so then I just went down more rabbit holes, and I was like, okay, well, we're done with that too. So it was both of those two things. And then, you know, once you get into these Facebook groups and talking to other women and people that are on this, like, oh, there's my little second born. you get all of this information thrown at you, and just whatever intuitively felt right with me is just kind of how I raised my children. But a lot of that did involve stepping away from the system after my first was born.
So you know you're going to home birth. Has free birth entered your consciousness yet?
It did, yes. So this is my second born, Rowan. At the time that I was pregnant with him, I am so blessed. Every time I've been pregnant, I'm pregnant with my best friend at the time. Like, it's so cool. So one of my good friends at the time was pregnant, and that was her first free birth. She's had two. I think that was her first free birth. And I had a midwife. And I remember just thinking that she was like so brave and so just like, you know, crazy and wild for choosing not having a midwife, because I have a midwife and I'm going to all my appointments. As she's texting me and she's like, what'd you do at your appointment today? What'd you do? Do they sell a Doppler at your midwife's office? I'm like, girl, you're crazy. But it was in my space. I was just not ready yet.
So what was it like with the midwife? She's obviously a licensed mm-hmm. medical midwife, and how does that prenatal care feel to you, and as you head into that second birth, what's it like?
So I was really excited about it at the time. This is her with Rowan. This is one thing that like, I didn't know she was gonna do this.
That's the midwife?
This is my
midwife,
sticking
her finger in your baby's mouth.
I didn't know that okay, where do I start with this one?
Don't look at the picture.
I was very excited about having a midwife. I was. I had the whole picture perfect, just a vision going down in my mind of the water birth and the candles and the music and just everything you see in the cute YouTube videos. And I was very excited about it. Our prenatal care, I had been leaning a lot into like personal growth and development and speaking more in front of audiences and just really grounding into myself. And so she knew who I was when, not like I didn't have a name, but she knew how I was when I was in her office. I was like, I'm not gonna do this. You're not gonna do this. We're gonna do this, you know? And she was very understanding of how adamant I was about certain things. And then, so everything's going great. Everything's going perfect. She honors everything I ask for. I would do two ultrasounds. I wanted the anatomy scan and the very first one they have you do at like 6 or 8 weeks or whatever. And then I said no more. I said no cervical checks and none of the other medical stuff that y'all do or bring or anything like that. Just leave him. Like, he's mine. Once he's out, he's mine. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's frustrating when I see that photo, because she knew how I was, and I wish that she would have been a little bit more honest and transparent about the post-birth process. Because I would not have been okay with her sticking her bare finger in my newborn's mouth, and then she's like, he has a little bit of a tie, and I'm like, no, he doesn't. He didn't.
How hip were you to the rules and regulations of your state?
Not very.
Yeah.
I just, again, I'm in that trusting space. I'm like, well, now I have a midwife, and midwives are with the times. Like, they know people like us, you know? But again, I didn't understand what they were bound to in order to have a license.
Yeah.
I did come to understand at 38 weeks when I went into her office, and she requested me to, she palpated my belly, like always, and said that baby was breech. And I said, he's not breech. She said, he is breech, I can feel him. Can you sign this affidavit saying that if he's breech when you go into labor at your home, you are okay with transferring? And I said, no, I'll birth a breech baby. She said, well, I'm not comfortable birthing a breech baby. And I said, well, I am. I'm birthing the baby. And she said, well, then you can find a different midwife to attend your thing. And I said, great, are there any here? Because I already
paid you. Didn't call it a thing.
Well, now I'm getting fired up because this is just like...
It's like, that says everything you need to know.
You know? Maybe she did. I don't know.
Maybe she did.
She might have. And she's like, can you, you know, maybe you can find a different midwife. And I said, well, we're at 38 weeks and you're fully paid up, so who can do it here? And she said, well, there's only one that's semi-comfortable and even she doesn't want to do it. And I said, okay, what the f*** do we do here? Because I'm not signing your stupid little paper. And she's like, well, there's only one other option and you can go get an ultrasound right now so I can confirm that he is head down. Okay, whatever, I'll go.
If you don't yet have our best-selling course, The Complete Guide to Free Birth, then you need to get with the program literally and level up your knowledge base. The Complete Guide to Free Birth includes everything we think you need to know to feel confident to choose home birth without medical providers. Over 10,000 women and couples have taken our free birth education course and birthed in power. Grab it now by going to our website at freebirthsociety.com.
I'll go. Another $100 out of my pocket because everything with a midwife is out of your pocket. And I go, and she puts the thing right there, and she's like, oh, he is ready. Thank you.
Well, and I want to add here, because I remember you telling me this when we chatted, another likely, potentially nefarious agenda happening with this is that in lots of situations, the midwife needs to have a third trimester ultrasound to confirm position for the backup doctor. And so... maybe she was being honest and actually felt to breach, or maybe she wasn't, and she was doing what she needed to do in a potential transfer, because lots of doctors will not take a transfer without the ultrasound. Also, just to stay in good standing with them, you know, lots of obstetricians would like the third trimester ultrasound, so I can't speak to this actual woman, but that is a play that they play.
Yeah, and that would make sense given how quickly she wanted me to sign a stupid piece of paper. So that was a red flag that I was very fired up about in the moment. And then I went and got
my ultrasound. I love your feistiness, though.
And oh, you have no idea how excited I was to send her that text message right away. Yeah. And I was like, told you. He's head down and he's ready. And mind you, this is at 38 weeks, and my son was born at 42 and a half weeks.
It also, it's just so, I mean, duh, but it's just so upsetting. I'm just picturing you and this total integrity breach, you know, after you've walked with her your whole pregnancy, you're feeling stoked, you've paid her a ton of money. This is the woman, this is the space holder that you have worked for several months, you know, to create a relationship with. And then at the end, you know, she fucks with you, right? And and just the what that does to the energetic field of your most vulnerable time. It's just so, you know, these are the deeper things, because we're always talking about obstetrical violence and kind of the overt, you know, abuse that happens in the system and with medical providers. But then there's this really deep,
sneaky,
really deep wounding between the midwife and the woman. You know, the sister on sister wounding to put this into your field at the end.
Yeah.
How conscious are you? Do you notice disconnect as you head into having her be at your birth? Because to me, I would imagine that's real damage.
Yes. I was very frustrated with her. And I think that she kind of knew that, but I don't think that she was willing to have the conversation with me about it before the birth. Because I had, like, once she brought up the breech thing and the transfer when everything is going perfectly fine and my baby wasn't born for 4.5 weeks after that, it hits a wound and you're just like, all right, you know? So that was really the only red flag during our care. And then, my birth happens very quickly. I wake up in the middle of the night. I'm having contractions immediately, a minute and a half apart. I'm chilling. I'm calling her through it, and she's like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna come over. It sounds like you're in labor. You know, it's about that time. You're a little late." So she comes over, and by the time she gets over there, I'm not talking anymore. I am like fully in it, fully heading towards transition, and my husband filled up my birth pool with cold water, and so I can't get in it. And I'm like, I am barking at the midwife.
And you guys are still together.
He's not allowed at the births of our children anymore. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so just fun fact, you actually cannot warm up cold water like that. Just do it the other way around and like have ice or something because it's snow. Yeah. And it was a freak snowstorm night in Las Vegas. So it was freezing. And then that second midwife that like legally has to be there knocks on the door as like I'm trying to test out the water and like all this like snow blows into my house. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? But it was an easy birth. I get in that water once it's warm and he is born maybe 5 minutes later. It was beautiful. It was amazing. It was my first natural birth experience from start to finish. And like literally this is like minutes after he's born. It was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm like blissed out. I did not sleep for like 15 hours and I'm just like, oh my, like this is like, you know, there's something that happens with natural birth and we just are like, oh, it's life changing. And yeah, so I would say within this 48 hour period, I start to go back to my first birth and I'm like, oh my gosh, like what did we do? What did I let happen? You know, but yeah.
And how did you feel about the midwifery team that supported you in that birth besides the finger in the mouth?
So it, like I said, it was very quick.
What a cute pic.
Yeah, so that's that little guy. He's all grown and this is my oldest. And that's my last pregnancy. No, so the birth itself, she was great during the birth. One thing I will say is that I was barking at everybody and I'm pacing around my house and I'm going crazy and she looks at me. And she's like, I need you to take it down a notch because you're expending a lot of energy. And right. I was like, well, then fucking check me because I need to know how long I'm going to be in this for. And what I wish she would have said to me in that moment is, we've had a lot of talks and you didn't want to be checked. When you start to feel like this, you're probably close to meeting your baby because I didn't know that.
Right.
I'm in my experience, you're close to meeting your baby when a team of emergency nurses rush in. You know, like I don't know what it feels like. But instead she tells me to calm down and I tell her then F you, check me. And she checks me and she's like, oh, look, you're at a 10. And I'm like, you know, like, let me get in the water then. And so they got the water heated up for me and I get in and he's born right after that. And the care right after his birth was, I mean, at that time it was more than I could have asked for because of my first experience, but there's a few things I would do differently now, like the finger being one thing. And I personally don't believe that my babies, because I'm low risk and I am just like, I know I have healthy babies. I don't think that they need to be weighed and measured and like touched with cold hands right away because I have it all on video and he's just screaming, like he's screaming. And it feels like that, like just that scream where mama wants to step in and just hold them, you know? And I couldn't because she's got to do all her stuff. And so I wish that I would have been given more time to like, you know, nurse him and calm him down. And then maybe we could have touched on that later, or if she comes by 24 hours later for the house visit. I would have appreciated that. But who I was back then and what I was looking for, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Again, I mean, the bar is so low. If all we're taught is, you know, how we're treated in the hospital, that's what we hear from our mothers. It's very, very easy to gaslight ourselves when things don't feel quite right in our homes because it's so much better, theoretically.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds like in some ways she was more hands-off than your average bear. It doesn't sound like she did.
She literally would have gotten, like, bit or stabbed by me. Like, she knew.
Like, she didn't do active third-stage management. She didn't, like, give you Pitocin, pull your placenta out, like the normal.
No, I actually, thankfully, because I don't remember much of this part, I'm, like, blissed out, like, just on a high in the video. But I do have a very long video. I was able to sit there for 30 or 40 minutes. And then I started to have contractions, and she said, okay, maybe it's placenta time now. That was never forced on me, which I'm very thankful for.
Yeah.
I don't even know what happened with my placenta with my firstborn. Like,
it got sold.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a horrible joke. A horrible truth.
It's not funny. We could really use that.
Yeah. Oh, it's true, though. It probably got sold. Okay, so you're blissed out. Oh my God, I didn't know birth could be like this. So that would naturally cause assessment and I assume some grief and you know, big feelings reflecting on your first birth like you referenced. And so then just take us into because I'm not sure what the age gap is, then again, with the next pregnancy, obviously at some point you look like a mermaid. Oh, that's so sweet. Look at them. Obviously at some point you get this crazy idea.
It wasn't my idea.
What?
It wasn't my idea. It was okay. My husband's idea.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. So my oldest is 9. Little one is 5. So he was 4. He was about 4 and a half when I got pregnant again. And so we live in Houston, Texas. We have no family out there. And so when me and my husband were talking about having another baby, it was like, well, you want to have this big old family out here. We don't have any support. And so we thought we would move to Michigan where all my family is. So I find out I'm pregnant. 6 weeks later, we pack up our house in Texas. We move to Michigan because I'm like, well, if I'm pregnant, I got to find a midwife. And my husband's like, well, why don't you just do it on your own? I'm like, okay, well, we'll think about it. We'll talk about it just in case. Let's move so I can be with family.
Wait, so he just cash says, just do it on your own?
I wish he was here. He's so casual. Like,
and so. Is this just, how serious of a suggestion is this?
Oh,
has he
serious.
Ever heard of any women doing
yeah.
anything? Oh, right, because your homegirl would
oh,
do it.
Actually, I didn't even tell you this. Yeah, so my best friend at the time did free birth, and then my sister-in-law had a very traumatic first birth. And her second, they tried to highly medicalize her, and she ended up like keeping the care up until 38 weeks and like gave them the middle finger and had their baby in their like bathroom by themselves.
Nice.
So his brother, like, you know, helped deliver that baby too. So yeah, he was dead serious. He was just like, she didn't do anything and you were kind of pissed off at her anyways.
Yeah,
so what do you
totally.
Think? And at the time I was like, okay, I'll consider it. Let me just kind of simmer on this. Cause that's not something that you want to just say yes to and then be like, well, I believe it's something very sacred that gets to come from like a hell yes. Because if it's not, I do believe things can go wrong, not from a physical standpoint, but from a mental or a spiritual standpoint.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Any which way you pick.
Yeah. So he was serious. Yeah.
So you go to Michigan.
Oh, yeah. We go to Michigan for 6 weeks. Oh, my God. It's terrible. Okay. It's terrible. I used to live up there, but when we went up there this past time, I was so, so depressed. I know part of it was being pregnant, but it was like the lack of sunshine. We were up there for 6 weeks. and we ended up.
But wait, you moved there thinking we're moving here. You bring all your stuff.
It's a 28-foot moving truck.
Yeah, you move there. And then 6 weeks later, you unmove there.
We stay with my mom for 6 weeks.
That's
intense. We have a house under contract. We're clear to close. 2 days before closing date,
whoa.
I call my husband and I'm like bawling. And I'm like, please don't. How do we get out of this? Please don't make me live here. I don't want to do this. I want to go back to where the sun shines and it's 75 degrees every
wow.
day. Like, please take me back. I can't imagine raising my children here. Like,
that was a hell no.
Uh-huh.
In your body.
Yes, yes. And like, he's so amazing. Literally anything I ask, he's just like, as you wish. So he's like, okay. And so we tell our realtor, we don't want this. And they're like, well, they could, you know, sue you for lots of money. And we're like, oh, we buy this house, we're out lots of money anyway. So either way, we're out lots of money. So thankfully we didn't get sued. We pack up, we come back. And at this point, on the drive up to Michigan is when I started like religiously playing Free Birth Society podcast.
Hey.
I had listened to a few like my last pregnancy and everything, but this time it was just like, I mean, we drove for 4 days straight up there and it was just on like every episode.
But and then tell them about your kids.
If I could find, yeah. So they would hear like the at the beginning in the song, and they're like, Mom, another vagina
off.
Talk? And I'm like, yeah.
So
I'm like,
boring.
Yes. Okay, another vagina talk, because it's very important I learn about this. And then I said, because that's where the babies come from, or the babies come from.
I don't know
and
which is worse. My dad would always play Alan Watts, which now I can appreciate. He's a famous Taoist philosopher, and I grew up every road trip being forced to listen
to
these.
He got into your subconscious early. It's perfect.
I don't know which would be worse.
So yeah, they were not happy about the front butt talks all up to Michigan. But I think they learned a lot. So yeah, we stayed up there for 6 weeks. We came back and just more podcasts in my ear. And by the time that the 6 weeks was over, I had tried looking for midwives in Detroit, and just the more that was coming into my space and my consciousness, and the more that I would tune into myself and like my baby and my belly, I'm just like, okay, you know, like, please put someone in my space that will serve me like this, you know? And no one ever really came into my space except for like maybe detours to this podcast or something, but it still just ended up back at Free Birth. So I'm like, okay, like, let's just do it. And by the time that we got back down to Texas, I think I was 17 weeks pregnant.
And what do you choose for your pregnancy in terms of prenatal care? Do you engage in the system at all? You did a test you might want to tell them about.
I don't know if this is engaging with the system, but again, one of my best friends is pregnant at the same time as me. And
that's crazy.
It's so amazing.
Every single time?
Every time, yes.
Weird.
Like I have a tattoo, a matching tattoo with one of my girlfriends, and we were pregnant together with our first babies. And then my free birth girl for my second baby, and now my Texas best friend for my third.
Oh, different women. Okay, that's less crazy. I thought it was the same woman every single
time. That would be
time.
So cool.
Like, that is wild.
That would be really, really cool. No, not that cool.
Okay.
But yeah, so I don't know what I was saying.
So have you at this point, I guess you've heard the podcast, are you doing a wild pregnancy?
Technically, I have not had an ultrasound. I'm like 17 weeks pregnant. My best friend has me do her gender reveal thing for her, and she's like, please, I need to know what you're having. And I'm like, I'm trying to tune into my intuition here. Like, let me do this my way. And then I did feel like I was going to have my girl finally, and I did really want to, like, prep and just get some clothes and, you know, special stuff like that. Like, we don't have a nurse or anything, nothing huge like that, but I did want it to be special for her. So I go to CVS, and I get a gender test, and it comes back girl.
Simple.
Yeah. That was the only thing that I engaged in, though. Like, no ultrasounds up until the time that I gave birth. There was nothing. I knew that I was having a girl, and there'd be times, like, I'm not like a robot. There was times that I was terrified, and yeah. I'm like, am I doing something wrong? Is something wrong with the baby? Like, maybe I should go get an ultrasound. Maybe I should. And every time those thoughts would go through my head, I would just have to kind of sit with myself and ask myself hard questions. Like, do you feel like something is wrong? Or are you afraid because of everything that's outside and everything that, you know, I've just been conditioned to believe? And most of the time, it was always fear. I definitely felt like something was different this pregnancy, like, and I thought it was because I was having a girl, because there was a lot that was different.
So will you speak to your attraction to wild pregnancy? Like, why do it if it's so scary and you know, you could just get the ultrasound and they could tell you everything is great and then you don't have to deal with anything at all?
Question. I would just mainly say because this is my personal belief, and I don't want to make anybody wrong, but I just believe that, like, us as humans nowadays, we outsource so much of what makes us powerful and what makes us special to all of these systems, medical, schools, whatever, we outsource it all. And I just didn't want to be a part of that. I wanted to experience something different. And spiritually, it felt like if I were to choose anything else, I was choosing fear, because that's just how it was for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a very spiritual decision for me, for sure.
And it sounds like you were interested in discovering what a path would feel like that wasn't fear-led.
Yeah, and I was in, again, I'm not a robot and I'm not an idiot. I definitely
we
had
need merch
to.
That says that.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Not a robot and not an idiot. I mean, free birth society.
Yeah, some people, they make mothers like us that are so, like, out of the norm to be, like, crazy, or, like, we're trying to do something bad. It's like, no, I'm not a robot. I'm not an idiot. There was times that I was, like, I was terrified.
Of course. I was literally convinced my baby didn't have a face.
Okay, has anyone seen the show Sweet Tooth? It's on
No.
Netflix.
No.
Where, okay, they basically birth animal, like, hybrid human babies.
It's a fiction show on TV?
Yeah, but okay. Not in my mind. During pregnancy, I'm thinking I'm going to give birth to, like, a half deer baby. I'm like, this is my karma for not, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I did have to, you get to contend with a lot of really scary things. It's like, What if something happens? What if I have a stillbirth? What if something's wrong with my baby? How do you deal with the judgment of people when they're like, well, did you know? Why didn't you get an ultrasound? This is all stuff that I had to contend with, and I was willing. I was willing to take it all on because I knew what was possible on the other side of that, and it was magic.
I can't stop thinking about wondering how many women went in and got ultrasounds after watching Sweet Tooth.
All of them. Yeah. I had nightmares for days.
Okay? Tell me it's not a deer.
I'm like, literally, like, I had dreams that I was having that, like, deer human baby. And it was like, what the fuck? I need to go get an ultrasound.
This is why we have to watch, we have to be careful what we watch when we're pregnant.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, but I really appreciate that and obviously have similar sentiments, wanting to know what's in there for me in the mystery and the magic of not knowing. And it is terrifying at times. And I don't think you get out of it.
No.
You know, I think in some ways, and this is, you know, gonna sound judgier than I mean it, but I do think ultrasound is a cognitive dissonance tool because it gives you an illusion of knowing something that you can't really know. You know, it's very faulty. It's very inaccurate. It's very faulty. And I've seen so many women be led to believe that their baby was some kind of way because of the surveillance technology that is faulty and highly inaccurate. And then when their baby is a different kind of way, missing a hand, a boy, not a girl, you know, the whole spectrum that occurs, there's no space. She hasn't even considered that her baby could be anything other than what she's been told.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And there is something in wild pregnancy. You know, obviously I can't speak for anyone else, but for myself, and I think it is a common sentiment, the willingness to sit in the mystery, the willingness to contend with the not knowing, as scary as that is, allows you to integrate whatever then happens.
Yes.
And sometimes it is clubbed feet. Sometimes it is a cleft palate. Sometimes it is stillbirth. Sometimes it is a intact, you know, air quotes, normal baby most of the time. But there is something I see in women who choose wild pregnancy that they are more prepared for their baby.
Yeah. Well, you almost have to be, right? Or just everyone's fear is going to come at you and overconsume you, and I don't believe that's going to lead anywhere.
But no one ever telling you your baby is fine.
That's one thought that I kept having when I would consider an ultrasound. It's like, why do I need someone to tell me that I'm okay? I feel okay. My baby's kicking. My baby's growing. Like, I had the biggest belly I've ever had in my life. I'm like, everything's fine. Why do I need someone to tell me?
But I also appreciate desperately wanting someone to tell me.
Yeah.
You know, I remember in my first pregnancy, it was my first pregnancy ever, and it was a wild pregnancy, and I saw my mom around 15, 16 weeks. And I had this sweet moment with her where I hadn't, you know, asked anyone. You know, no one could tell me anything about my baby, right? Wild pregnancy, no one is telling me anything. And I just looked at her and I burst into tears and I said, could you just tell me if there's a baby in there? And she was like, let's find out. And she palpated my womb, and it was my mom, you know, and she palpated my womb and she smiled and she said, I'm pretty sure there's a baby in there.
That's so
and I was
cool.
Like, thank you so much.
That's so
but just
cool.
that innocence and sweetness, and it's so understandable. You want someone to be like, you're doing good, there's a baby, and ideally tell us the baby is okay, which no one actually can do.
But how cool would that be if that's like the new norm? You just have your own mom, like,
just your own mom palpate. More merch ideas.
It's gonna be
There's
me.
Something there.
It's going to be me in the future. It's
so
fine.
Sweet. Yeah, of course. Should we be so honored?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So then what happens? You're pregnant. It's a girl. We know it's a girl because of the test. You're feeling good. You're willing to sit in the mystery. You're having moments of fear, but you're really working it as a spiritual practice.
Yeah.
You're happy in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, we moved into a nice house, and we get settled. It was super weird because when we moved back here at like 17 weeks, my husband, I'm at a park, and my husband's like, oh, I gotta tell you, babe. And I'm like, what? And he's like, we're gonna have twins. And
what
I'm
an
like,
asshole.
I'm like, anyways, how's your day going at work?
Yeah. Like, bite your tongue.
Why would you, like, twins are not a thing in our families. Like, why would you say that? And he
why
says
would you
that.
Say that.
And that was one reason I was like, maybe I should go get an ultrasound. But I didn't, you know, so. But yeah, so I'm feeling good.
So before you get into the birth, do you want to speak on it all? You know, the thing that everyone asks women who choose this, what if? Like, how did you navigate the what if within yourself and within your marriage of navigating the what ifs of emergencies, complications? What was your level of education, getting resourced, learning about any of that, you know, just within yourself? And maybe it wasn't very heady, you know, it's different for everyone, but how did you contend with that? Is there anything to share about that?
So I'm not a very heady person. I'm more of like a feely person. I'm more intuitive. But at the same time, I was in a lot of Facebook groups and I was asking a lot of questions. I read a lot of books. And for me, like with anything, what if it was, okay, what if this happens at home? What do we do? What if this happens in the system? What do they do? And which do I believe would benefit me and the baby more? And there's not a lot that they do there, unless it's like a severe, severe, severe emergency. But I do believe that those are rare when you stay out of their care.
Yeah.
You know, especially as low risk and a healthy person, like that's just, yeah.
So anything else you want to share about the pregnancy before we move into your free birth story?
I don't know. I don't think so. It was just a normal. I love what you say on the podcast, and you're just like, you just live your life. You literally just live, and that's all I was doing. Yeah, I was just living my life and incorporating being pregnant into that. And so I would make sure that one huge thing that I've accomplished since getting pregnant is that, like, I don't drink coffee first thing in the morning anymore on an empty stomach. I eat, like, a huge breakfast, and then I have my coffee. And I don't know if that's, like, a big thing to anybody else, but it was really big for me. Like, I would just ruin my body and myself and be all jittery and angry and anxious by, like, noon every day. And I'm like, how do I escape this? When I got pregnant, I was like, okay, it's not about me anymore. Like, you can do this for the baby. And I did. And I felt really good for up until about the end of my pregnancy. And then, yeah, I even asked my photographer in these photos, I'm like, hide my ankles. If I get cankles back in my photos, I'm not paying you. I'm asking for a refund. Yeah.
I'm sure you weren't the first pregnant woman to ever request that.
She didn't do a very good job of
hiding
them.
Oh, no! Did you pay?
I did.
But you will not be referring her.
No. Okay. Not her, not the midwife, nobody.
Yeah. Just kidding. So, start of the birth. What are your first signs?
Oh, so this is actually tough because with my first, I went to 39 weeks and I was induced, so I feel like I would have gone further. My second, I got to go to 42 weeks.
Right.
So with this, I'm fully prepared. I'm like, oh, I'll go 44 weeks. Like, I'll do it. I don't care. Love being pregnant. And then 32 weeks comes around and I'm like, I don't know if I can, like, this is just not feel like it has ever felt before. Like, I do not feel okay. Am I getting old? Am I getting, like, too overweight? What is happening here? Because I did not, like, I was just like, I need a nap. I'm swelling, like, you know. So I'm monitoring my blood pressure at this point. That was one prenatal care thing I did.
And why was that?
Because I was starting to swell and I was worried. I've definitely, like, listened to the preeclampsia episode like 15 times to just become like a little mini expert with her. But I just wanted to be cautious and just, you know, on my game just in case. And so my blood pressure was perfectly fine. I was just swelling a lot. I was very tired. And then when I was 35 weeks, I woke up in the morning, normal, totally normal, and I go to make breakfast, and just some, like, lower back pain brings me down to my knees, like, out of nowhere, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what was that? And it's only a minute, just a minute, and I'm, like, crawling across my kitchen floor to pull myself up on a table because I cannot stand.
You just said 35?
35.
Yeah.
Weeks, yeah. So I am, yeah, and I sit in the chair for a minute, and it happens, like, another wave of it, and then it just stops for the rest of the day, and I'm like, okay, that was super weird, and, you know, I'm a little cautious here. I'm like, what was that? And then the day goes on, and I'm starting to have more sensations. The night before, I took a bath, and I thought that I was having, like, prodromal labor because it was just, like, tightening after tightening after tightening, but no pain or anything. It was just, like, I could feel that, like, I'm towards the end of my pregnancy. And so, yeah, the next day after the back pain, I could start to feel a little bit of cramping in the lower belly. And I'm like, okay. And so I call my husband. He's at work, and I'm super emotional. Like, I am, like, cannot control my emotions. And I'm like, I think I'm going to have this baby any day. And he's like, what do you mean? What's going on? And he was there for the back pain thing. And so I was like, well, that happened, and now I'm just feeling very, like, crampy, and this is not, like, normal. You know, this is not how I've been feeling.
Were you scared about how early it was?
No, only because I have, like, read a lot of stories, and I've heard a couple stories on your podcast of women delivering healthy babies and staying home around 33 and 34 weeks. It was not ideal to me, but it wasn't something I was going to fight, and it certainly was not something I was going to step into the system for. I live on the highway of a Texas Children's Hospital, so I was very well prepared in any case of an emergency, but I didn't feel, again, like, I'm very intuitive. I didn't feel like something was wrong. I just felt like I could go into labor, and I did. I called my husband around 2:30, and I said, I think I'm going to have this baby today, and he's like, okay, all right, and we're, you know, 4 or 5 weeks before my due date. And he comes home around 4:30, and this is so ironic because, again, I'm feeling the prodromal labor in the bath the night before, so I finally order my birth supplies. I ordered from In His Hands, which is like a midwife online site, and then I ordered the stuff I could from Amazon. Amazon doesn't sell crap for birth, of course. So I had to order everything from the other place, which was like a 7-day delivery thing. Ooh. And so I'm like, oh, I'll be fine. Yeah. 35 weeks, I'm fine. She was not fine. None of my birth supplies were there the next day, of
and
course.
It completely proves that you don't need anything.
Yeah, like 100,000% proofs. Yeah. So I have no birth supplies. My husband comes home at 2:30 in the afternoon. He's like, go lay down. You did a lot yesterday, go lay down. Like, maybe that'll make you feel better. Okay.
And he's mellow about the free birth choice.
He's like, he's some sort of robot or something, because he was way too cool about
he's
it.
He's into it.
Yeah, I was like, how are you, like, I'll tell this part, but I was like, how are you so okay, you know? And so, yeah.
It's his job to be okay.
Yeah, it was in that moment. But yeah, so 4:30 comes around, and I'm laying in bed, and I just feel like, very crampy, and I'm like, I cannot get comfortable. A lot of women feel like know that situation when you're like, I just wanted to lay down and I couldn't get comfortable, and then you know, you're like, oh fuck, here we go, this is it, like, this is it. And so I get up and I'm like on all fours on my bed, and I start to like rock around and just try to get comfortable, and I feel a pop, and I'm like, okay, I think that might have been my water. My water has never broken naturally.
Aww,
with my
fun.
With my home birth, it popped as he was crowning. Like, I felt that, it was really cool. This one, and so I reached down to see if my water had broken, and it's like trickled with like a little bit of blood, and this is where I start to get like, okay, all right, this is kind of scary. Mm-hmm. Why am I bleeding? And so I'm just laboring in my bedroom on all fours, and it's not very intense at all, but like I can feel a lot of pressure, and I'm bleeding, and I'm like, okay, why am I bleeding? This is like very alarming to me. I've never bled during labor before. Mm-hmm. And so I am just trying to keep my cool. My husband is like super cool about everything. And I'm just voicing to him, I'm like, I'm so scared. I feel like something is wrong. I feel like I did something wrong. I feel like I'm terrified. Maybe I should have been in the system. This is my karma. Like, oh. I am terrified at this point, only because of the blood. Like, yeah. Literally just because of the
How
blood.
How much are we talking?
I could sit on the toilet and I could wipe, and like the whole thing would be like bright red.
Okay.
But I'm also in the water, and the water's not turning a color. It's staying clear. But when I get out, like there's enough blood to scare you during a free birth for sure. And so I'm just like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And he's like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I just want to know that I'm okay. I'm like, how are you not scared right now? And he's like, would it make you feel better if I'm scared? And I said, no. He's like, okay, well, I can't be that right now for you. And I'm like, okay. And just that in that moment, I just felt like a wave of like calmness and okayness. And I'm like, okay, all right, let's figure this out. He's like, let's call a midwife. I'm like, you can just call a fucking midwife for free birthing. And he's like, let's just, I don't care. I literally don't give a shit. And so he grabs my phone, because I'm like, no. Grabs my phone, he calls the midwife from our second birth and tells her the situation. And she's like, how much blood is baby moving? And I'm like, I've only felt her move a couple times, and I'm panicking, which is true. I had only felt her move a couple times, but I'm also in like very active labor. And she's like, well, maybe you should go get checked. And then my fear just completely goes, like, from the blood to, like, I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to go to the hospital. I'm, like, in this little tub, and I'm, like, just leaning over. I'm like, please no, please no, please no. And then he's like, well, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm fucking terrified. You know, it's just like this chaotic 5 minutes, right? And finally he's like, okay, I'm gonna take, we're gonna just go get an ultrasound, make sure the baby's heartbeat is going, and then we'll leave. And I'm like, well, I'm ready to fight somebody. I'll fucking leave. I don't care. Like, I'm ready to fight someone at the hospital, just in that energy, you know, like, you know you're about to battle. And he literally leaves the bathroom. And we have, like, a small house, like 1,700 square feet. He leaves the bathroom, goes to tell my boys who are watching a movie, my older boys, watching a movie in the living room, go get your shoes on. And I'm like, babe, get back in here. And, like, this is the photo he took as he opened the door. Yeah. I was on the toilet, and I put a t-shirt. I had been naked. I put a t-shirt on because we're getting ready to, like, go to the
hospital.
This
is your transfer t-shirt.
I have nothing either. Yeah, this t-shirt still has, like, blood bleach stains on it. It's, like, an iconic item in our house now. But this is what he walks into, and I'm just like, she's here. And he's just like, oh, my gosh. And so I'm holding her, and her cord felt like it was really short. Like, this was about as high as I could lift her up. And I look at my husband, and I'm like, there's still something hard in my belly.
It's got to be the placenta.
He goes, it's the placenta. He's like an OBGYN. He's like, it's a placenta. And I'm like, give me your hand. And I put his hand on my belly. And he's like, oh, shit. I said, that's a butt. And he's just like, his whole face. He was like, you know how I told you guys that he said we were going to have twins? In his face, it was like this mixture of like, oh, shit. And like, fuck,
I knew it.
And so I'm like, I need you to hold her because I'm starting to get more contractions like right away.
And you're just with it?
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I've never been in this situation.
You literally can't do anything.
We were on our way to the hospital. We were going to do things the right way. I don't know.
Wow.
So
I guess the integration comes later.
Yeah.
You just...
Yeah. No, well, okay, at 32 weeks, I did feel like two sets of hiccups, but I convinced myself that it was like not. I was nice. No. And so, yeah, I had a second baby come out after my first...
An unexpected second baby. Can we give it up for Kate really quick? An unexpected second human?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They were very small.
Very few women on the planet today will have that experience. You know, it's quite unusual.
It was
for these times.
It was really cool. Like, it was crazy. Because, like, again, my husband's so cool that for him and I, it was just, like, this moment of, like, of course. Like, why wouldn't this happen to us? You know what
and,
I mean?
And then what was the sex of the second baby?
Oh, my God. He told me right away. So I pull her up, and we're, like, you know, I'm like, I need you to hold her because I can't, like, the cord is so short. It turns out she had been, her cord had been wrapped up behind other baby's placenta or something. I'm not sure. But it ended up being normal length, and so was his. There was two placentas. But, yeah, I mean.
And it was a boy.
Yeah, and I pull him out, and immediately, I mean, I'm pulling him out. He's like, it's a boy. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, it's a boy.
A CVS gender test
yes,
was wrong?
You guys.
My God, I want my money back.
The way that that test works, it says it on the box. It says on their website. It says everywhere that, one, if male DNA is present inside of you, it automatically comes back male.
Wrong.
It cancels out girl. Okay, wrong. Two, if there's multiple sets of DNA, it comes back inconclusive.
Mm-mm.
It came back girl. So I was just like, oh my God. And now people ask me, they're like, oh, I bet you're just never going to engage in anything anymore. And I'm like, I hope I don't have to.
So it's baby, then baby.
Yes.
And then placenta, then placenta. Like, tell me about the placental plural birth.
So I've actually been thinking about this a lot, and I'm curious is... What I'm curious about is if with my son who was born second,
if, look at that. Oh my God.
If his placenta had begun to almost like prematurely detach, because that could have explained the bleeding. Mm-hmm. And immediately after he was born, like I'm pulling him out and I'm sitting on his placenta. Mm. Like it's out with him.
How was he? How was his transition?
It took him a few minutes. He came out. He wasn't moving, and he was not the same color as her. Mm. He was like a bluish gray color.
So she was vibrant and red.
She was screaming. I mean, you could see her when she came out. She was screaming. And yeah, when he came out, he was He was chilling for a minute, but I just held him close to me, and I had heard stories on your podcast that I had to sit with for a while. I heard one woman, I think she said it was 17 or 18 minutes.
15.
And just me trying to tell my husband about that story I had heard, I was crying. I'm like, I don't understand.
And that story, when we unpacked it with Sister Morningstar at our retreat, Sister brought up something that it hadn't even occurred to me, that it everything that she describes in that birth tracks with a partial abruption.
Okay.
And so it's interesting that you're suspecting the potential of that.
Yeah, because that back pain that I had had too, that just came out of nowhere. Like I sometimes wonder, like, did that start it? Did I overdo myself the day before? I mean, either way, yeah, he came out and he was not. He wasn't awake right away, but he did come to.
And what were their birth weights?
So when we weighed them, I cried. She was 3.5 pounds, and he was 4.1.
Wow.
And all I wanted at that moment was to just put them back inside of me and, grow them more, because I'm over here telling everyone, I'm like, I think they're five pounds. No, they couldn't even, yeah. So that was rough, but they latched right away, and...
And you stayed at home. I mean, these are...
I did stay at home. One other thing I want to say about staying home, too, because I just found this miraculous, and you and I have talked about this, is Isabel, my girl that was born first, she was screaming and crying when she came out, but after brother was born, she had some sort of, like, breathing... humming issue. I think in the system they would call it like respiratory distress.
Oh my God.
And I just remember I kept looking at my
husband.
They
seem fine.
Yeah. They are. They're huge now. I wish they were here. Like, they're so cute.
The side smirk.
He's so big.
So she showed some potential distress.
Yes. Yes. She was humming and she was breathing very quickly. And you could tell that she was in a bit of distress. And I just kept telling my husband that I was worried. Mm. And he's like, I'm not worried about her. And he, like, that first picture we had of them, they actually did skin to skin with him, both of them, before with me, just because of how chaotic the birth was and everything. And he got that opportunity first.
How many days until... she settled and you were no longer worried about her
breathing? It was not days. Okay. It might have been 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is crazy. The only reason I know she had respiratory distress is because I came across a YouTube video that showed another baby in the system, like, with all these things, and it was doing the same thing as her, but we stayed home and she was fine.
And there was something about him that you were concerned about as well?
Just how he came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we weren't really concerned about that just because of what I've learned from other women's stories. This was just the other night.
So how old are they now to catch us
up?
They
just turned 4 months on the 7th. Yeah. And he is like 13 pounds, so 4, 8, 12. He's doing good.
Steph, how are we on time? Do we have a minute to talk about the thing that happens next?
Yeah, we can just start to wrap it up. We got a couple minutes.
Okay, cool, because we have to talk about this next part.
It just keeps getting better.
It just keeps getting crazier and crazier. So obviously, I have to first ask, how does one integrate a surprise second baby?
I'm pretty sure it's going to take a year.
Gotcha.
Because
we're not on our way.
No, I'm serious.
There's 4 months in.
I'm serious. Like, sometimes I tell people, I'm like, I feel like I've been, like, body napped and I'm living in some, like, alternate reality because it's crazy. Like, we had to get a new car.
right.
It's just
there's
wild.
The practical, there's the just literally having no idea. It's such a big deal.
Yeah, I think it'll take us a while to fully integrate, but we're doing about as good as we can be.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have these two babies. One of them is a surprise. Little girl is adjusting well after about 30 minutes. So you guys are all just probably in total shock and awe.
Yes.
I mean, even if it had just been one baby, you know, still your first free birth.
Yeah.
Such a big deal. Oh my God, so cute. Super mom.
That was my first time getting him on the back. So I felt really, like, very
so
accomplished.
Cute. I love the little one and the boy in the back.
I cannot get a picture of my twins without that guy just, like...
Yeah. So then what happens next?
So the day before, I had been very busy because I was prepping a bunch of stuff. We were supposed to get a hurricane. We've lived through a couple hurricanes out there. They've never been too bad. This one happened to be bad. The twins were born on 7/7 at 7 p.m. So by 10 a.m. the next morning, the hurricane had made its way up to North Houston, and I mean, we're thinking trees are gonna snap in the backyard. Thankfully, everything was fine, but we did lose power, and we lost power for 4 days, 5 days, four
and
or five days.
And it was hot as shit.
It did get up to 100 degrees in my house. Yeah.
That's intense.
So it was very scary. At first, it was fine, because like right after the hurricane, the weather was gorgeous. I mean, we opened up all the windows, power's out, we're fine, you know, like 75, 80 degrees, windy. It was nice. By the next day, it was 95 degrees in our house. I mean, the floors are like slippery. It's so humid. And I'm worried about the babies at this point, because I'm like, okay, like I know they're supposed to be warm, but I feel like I'm getting too warm and they're on me. And, you know, thankfully with them being preemies, like we got that opportunity to just be naked and warm for a few
better
days.
Better hot than cold.
Yeah. But it did get alarmingly hot. And so,
and just uncomfortable, just picturing nursing, bleeding, postpartum mom.
I was so disgustingly smelly. I was like, this is so gross. This is so not.
Just like our ancestors.
I will never forget that smell. I'm just like, oh my gosh. So it was really scary. By the second day, I was in tears, and I'm just like, we got to do something. We didn't have a generator. So I'm like, we have to do something. And it was to the point where there was millions of people in Houston without power. So it's like, we're not getting power back anytime soon. It was clear it was going to be over 24 hours, which is basically all we had prepared for, which is bad on our part, especially me being pregnant. And we couldn't leave because we didn't have an extra car seat. And we didn't have a car big enough for my whole family at the time. So I'm like, we're literally stranded. So I post on Facebook in this big neighborhood group that we have, and I'm like, I just had surprise twins at home. I have no power. Anyone with restored power, I would love to just like rent your generator for money, like please. Thankfully, a nice gentleman, he's like, come pick up my generator. So we do, he gives us 5 gallons of gas, and my husband brings it back home, hooks it up, and we start running a fan, and I'm like, this is not enough. Like, I'm like, you're just blowing hot air at me, and I'm like, I'm like about to freak out because I've got two babies on me that I don't know how to hold at the same time. I don't know how to nurse at the same time. We're slippery. We're sweaty. I'm like, this is too much.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you work for an air conditioning company. Can't you go get an AC unit or something? And he's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, usually you work so much better than this, but I'll give you a pass. So he makes a call at 11 o'clock at night, and at this time we also don't have cell service, and so he's trying so hard to talk to his boss, and his boss is like, what? I can't hear you. And I'm just like, oh my God, please. Like, I'm like praying. I'm like, please, 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 we need something. So he goes and picks it up an hour away, waits in line for an hour at a gas station. Finally, at like 1 a.m., gets it there, and we hunker down, the six of us, for 3 more days. In one little bedroom, and my husband was the only one to leave the bedroom and just like make me food and bring me pounds and pounds of food, because I was like an animal after having those babies.
That is a true family story. You know, like that story needs to get passed down to your grandchildren, and that your great grandchildren are going to be telling this wild birth story in the hurricane.
I'm super thankful I got to birth my girl in a free birth, because I hope that somehow, some way, this just is like a ripple effect for the future, because like from me up, the generations up, like it's not there.
Just a couple.
Yeah.
Before it was all there.
Yeah. Well, my dad's side of the family, his mom is adopted, so we don't know like that.
Well, I mean, but we've only been birthing in the system for a couple generations, so guaranteed.
Yes.
All of our.
What is that? You say every woman is an ancestor of a woman who's free birth somewhere, right?
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
No, like all of them.
Yeah.
All of them up until very recently. Literally all of them. So it's a nice thing to think about.
So we're really not that cool.
No, it is so cool / totally, totally normal, right? Yeah. Okay, so I would like to close with a question I've been asking everyone on this season. And yeah, I'd like to know, we just have a couple minutes left, but I'd like to know how, I know it's only been 4 months, so you're still really fresh. Like you said, you're 4 months into what will surely be a year-long integration. But can you speak to how free birth, wild pregnancy and free birth, has changed you as a woman?
I would just say that I feel more confident, and I just feel more connected to like the magic that it is to be a human and a mother. Like, a mother is so special, especially right now on this planet. Like, we have such big work to do and we have such big things to teach our children, and I just feel honored on a much deeper level. Like, it's like, I feel like with my second, it was just like almost, there was a hint of like ego behind it. Like, that's why I have that picture with this Born at Home shirt. Like, that shirt was so important. Everyone had to know he had to be born at home, you know? But now it's more of just this like, I don't even know how to explain it. But yeah, it's very powerful. And I hope that, like you said, these stories can just be told for generations to come, because I know technology ain't going nowhere. So it's really important that we keep this at the forefront.
And your story shows such an important and beautiful arc, you know, of what is possible. And I mean, it's really important, you know, because women will hear your story and still be in their first birth spin like you were, you know, and stories like yours help shorten the path for a lot of women where they can find aligned, you know, hopefully internal freedom quicker, you know, knowing that other women are doing it.
Yeah. And that's how that's what happened with me. I just listened to other women's stories and it's like, she's a woman, I'm a woman.
More merch ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Let's give it up for Kate.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's a wrap, y'all. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us tonight.
Thank you all so much.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. You can support this podcast by donating to it through the link in the show notes below. And of course, leaving an awesome review on whatever platform you listen on. The more reviews, the more visibility the show gets. So let's spread the good word of Sovereign Birth. Don't forget, you can watch our podcast interviews on YouTube and see the women as they tell their birth and power stories. And you'll also find our viral free birth collection of epic raw birth videos on our YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to our channel. We've always got a lot going on at Free Birth Society, and you can find out all about it at freebirthsociety.com, at Free Birth Society on Instagram, and opt in to my newsletter below. We offer courses on free birth, authentic midwifery, the blood mysteries, as well as one-on-one coaching, in-person retreats, and of course our annual women's gathering, the Matriarch Rising Festival. Our exclusive private vetted membership, The Lighthouse, is definitely something to check out if you're looking for a community of wise sisters to get guidance from and to meet in real life. Together we rise, sisters. We must speak our stories, fully claim our lives, and support one another. This is the living revolution, and I am so grateful to be in it with all of you. I'll leave you with our gorgeous Free Birth Society theme song, Wild Woman by Aruba Red.
I honor you for the wisdom you held, the ancient traditions of plant medicine and womb magic. I feel the spirit of the ancestors as I place my hands upon my belly. This sacred portal will be honored. Eons upon light beams of survival, withstanding the eradication of our power by design. I will not allow the separation of our young to be forced upon me. My sisters will no longer birth in captivity. The picket line redefined from burning our wild women to paralyzing us and drugging our babes. Strapped down in a clinical white bed, drying up the milk from our breasts, keep your needles. My family will never again be doomed to chase those dragons or your poison. We reject your fear. We choose love. Everything with intention. Death, ascension. I will fly and bring her back from the stars. Conscious.